Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And we take a look at this chapter and hear a chapter that's always been a great blessing to me. The Word of God, all the Word of God is great. But this is one of those passages that just kind of jumps out. It's in the Scripture. It's kind of different, some of the content of it. It's kind of different. And we might wonder and kind of scratch our heads and say, you know, why would the Lord put this in here? But it's necessary and it's good and it conveys something to us. And so if you have your Bible, turn here to Luke chapter 24. If you don't have your Bible, bring one. Bring a Bible to two church services, okay? It's the only way you can read it for yourself. You need to see it, need to read it, need to learn it, need to know it, fill up on it. Here in Luke chapter 24, verse number 25. Then he said unto them, that is Jesus, Luke 24:25, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This morning we want to focus on, and the title is from this verse number 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's kind of some tough words in it. We've got some tough love going on here. The world today doesn't really give much of a lick about tough love anymore, but I tell you what, it's needed. In my day and in my time of my youth and even since then, I've needed some tough love. I've needed folks to tell me the truth. And I've needed to go ahead and get lined up with it. Okay? And that's what we need to do with the truth. But here the Lord Jesus speaking, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The title for the message this morning is Don't Be Foolish and Don't Be a Fool. Don't be slow of heart to believe the Word of God. Hear that? The application of this is going to be farther ranging than the message. But don't be a fool and don't be slow of heart to believe what the Word of God says. Hear that, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings in the past week. Thank you, Father, for the day that you've made that we can put aside the cares of life and of the world and all those things. We put all that aside, Father, to worship you. Lord, I praise your name, and I'm thankful for each one that's come this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to help us, that we would continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. Be with those that are not with us, Lord, that you might touch them and stir them, that they might meet together with us. Any that are hindered, Lord, you know those cases, and we pray that you'd work and help in that hindrance, Lord, and help and heal and lift up and remove and just work there. Lord, you know. We pray, Father, that you would help us as your children, that we would honor and glorify and praise and magnify your name. That we might hold up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might glorify him and all that's been done, all that you've done for us and all that you've promised. For those that are here this morning and not saved, Father, that you might help them to hear, Father, that they would not be a fool and that they would not be slow of heart to believe what the Word of God says. And Lord, the same thing for we as your children. Help us, Father, we not be cold. And help us, Father, we not slide away from you and backslide and get out of fellowship with you. Lord, help us we'd be draw near and be in fellowship with you. Help now, we pray, and bless with your word, Father, and just work in our midst today. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Here the Lord says, O fools and slow of heart to believe. In this chapter, at the beginning here, the scripture says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, and this is Sunday morning, and we've dealt with passages about the timing of all that. This is on Sunday. Very early in the morning, they, and it talks about the they, and namely women, or at the first group, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they prepared the Lord's body, put it in the tomb, put it in Joseph's tomb. They did what they could as fast as they could. But then these ladies, they were going to do more of the anointing and of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved him. They cared for him. They were going to spare no expense. Anything that they could do, they were going to do it because of their care for the Lord. These people, these folks, our brothers and sisters in Christ that are here at this time, they're just kind of in a state of wow. Okay? Now they're in a state of wow. We're going to see that. But they're going to do everything that they can. And so they came to the sepulcher, bringing these spices and what they had prepared, and certain others with them. Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. So that's another wow. They're just getting wowed on the right and on the left. The stone is rolled away. And the reason that it's rolled away is because the angels did it. We see that in other passages. Not to let the Lord out, but to let the saints in to see. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. So his body is not there. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed. There's that wow, that being that marveling with their jaw dropped open. Thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. These are the angels. And they are hymns. The angels are not hers. Take all your her angels and pitch them, okay? Because that's nowhere near scriptural, okay? We'll jump on all kinds of stuff this morning, aren't we? And the angels are always in the masculine. And we don't need to have that stuff around anyway, because we don't know what an angel looks like anyway. And they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? When they saw those of heaven come down, they were afraid. And these out-of-body experiences and these things that we hear about people seeing angelic beings and hosts and seeing the Lord Jesus at the foot of their bed and all that. Anybody that's ever told me anything about that kind of stuff, I ask them, were you afraid? And any of them that I've talked to have said, no. So, well, you didn't see the Lord, nor did you see any representative from heaven. Because that's the way it is in the scripture. When heaven comes down, men are afraid. They were afraid, bowed down their faces to the earth, and said unto them, why you seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. But verse 6, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? Remember that? The Lord had spoken, his word given, and they forgot. And the word of God is here with me, with you, with us, and I forget what it says. The thing is when I forget what it says, what's this going to do for me? Is it going to make me better off? When I forget what the Word of God says, it's always going to hurt me. It's going to hurt my wife, it's going to hurt me, it's going to hurt my wife, it's going to hurt my family, it's going to hurt my church. I need to hear what they remember. Oh, I'm prone to forget. We need to pray the Lord to help us, don't we? Lord, help me to remember. The Lord ever give you, I'm at that age in my life, the Lord ever give you a blessing out of His Word and you're reading the Word of God and you're fellowshipping and praying to the Lord and just meditating upon the Word of God, and the Lord bless you with a good thing, and you get it down the road a little bit and you forget it and want to remember it? I tell you what, I've prayed. I've done that here in recent times. Lord, help me to remember what you showed me and blessed me with. I'm there. I don't like being there, but I'm there. He's risen. Remember what he told you in Galilee, verse 7, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. This is what he said. And be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his word, said, oh yeah, that's right. Let's just take a walk through one of the Gospels, Matthew 16. I like Matthew. Matthew seems like, and a lot of things refer to Matthew a lot. Look here, Matthew 16, verse 21. And from that time forth, after he's told about the building of his church, began Jesus to show to his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem to suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. He told them then, chapter 17, verse number 22, and while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. They did hear at that time, but no doubt, maybe, there were times where the Lord would say such a thing and they'd say, Well, I don't know what that means, so I'm just not going to pay attention to it. Don't you reckon? Aren't we that way? I've been that way. We're at chapter 20 of the same book. Chapter 20. Verse 17, Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and then the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. Even more detail now, right? Not just to men, but who? And they shall condemn him to death. There's the mock trial. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock. That's the Romans, Pilate and his crowd. And to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. The Lord's, you know, in his deity and in his power and his greatness, he's not sweating one thing, is he? He knows what's going to be and he knows what he's come to do. They remembered his words. There's other accounts of that in the Gospels. Verse 9 of Luke 24. And returned to the sepulcher, these folks that we've read about, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. So these women, they went back and they said, sepulcher's open, body's not there, we've got nothing to put the spices on. The angels, these men in bright garments, have reminded us about the scriptures, and apostles and those that are with you there, then to the rest, there it is. They believed it, didn't they? They saw it. Verse 10. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, now it's telling who it is, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed unto them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Wow, these ladies here, they didn't believe, but then when they told them to the Lord's apostles, they didn't believe them yet. And we would count them to all certainly to be from Missouri, right? The show me state. I got to see it to believe it. Listen to what it says. Then arose Peter. He couldn't receive the witness of his sisters. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves. Remember, he and John ran, and John beat him there and ran up to the door of the sepulchre, but Peter went on in. Peter went on in. What's he see? What the Lord was wrapped in, there in a pile. We know the other accounts in the Gospels that the napkin was folded there together by itself in a place. Maybe some symbology there. And from the culture, we don't know for sure. And departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. The ladies, when they came back, no doubt did they rehearse some of the scriptures and what the angels had said. Remember how he told us this would happen? And they said, no, that can't happen. He's dead. He's been dead for 3 days. But Peter saw that he was not there, huh? Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Emmaus, a little town there to the northwest of Jerusalem, about 7 miles. The scripture is going to tell us that. 7 to 8 miles. Which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And if we understand it right, that's about 7 to 8 miles. How long would it take you to walk 7 or 8 miles? Well, for me not used to walking, it'd take me a while. 2 hours, 3 hours, something like that. If you're used to walking all the time, you might be able to make it 1.5 hours. Okay? 2 hours. Something like that. And so they're there. They're on their way to Emmaus. They have left the church, haven't they? It seems like our brother here, that we're just going to mention his name, maybe our brother is just fed up. You ever get fed up? I tell you what. You get fed up with me. You get fed up with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you get fed up with what the Lord's doing. The wrong direction to go is away from the Lord and away from His church. If I need some rebuke, if you need some rebuke, if I need some reproof, you need some reproof, the wrong direction to go is away from the Lord and away from His church. It can happen to us. I'm not saying that it can't happen to us. It can happen to us. But it's the wrong way to go. And so they're on their way to Emmaus. In verse 14, listen to this. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. What did they talk about? Well, the Lord, the greatness of His life amongst them. right? I mean, wouldn't that leave an impression on people? And these folks are saved. They talk about his betrayal. How in the world could Judas betray him? Why didn't the apostles and the men do something? You ever hear that, ladies? Have you ever said something like that? Why didn't the men do something? We can't do anything. Why didn't the men do something? I don't know. Maybe if this is Cleophas and his wife that's walking here, maybe she said to him, why didn't you do something? I don't know. They talk about his betrayal. They talk about his crucifixion and how terrible that was. Their master, their rabbi, was put on that cross. And when the Roman government got a hold of him, there wasn't anything anybody could do. They didn't have the wherewithal to rescue him. And in the midst of that, they did not remember what he said would come to pass. Remember what the ladies that went to the sepulcher, they had to be reminded, and they did remember. And this pair that are here that are on their road to Emmaus, the scripture is going to bear out to us, that they were there when these ladies got back. And so maybe they were talking about, well, those passages did say, or in those passages, the Lord did say that that's what was going to happen. Has he risen again? They're on their way to Emmaus. And it came to pass, verse 15, while they communed together and reasoned, they talked one with another of all these things which had happened. Verse 14. Verse 15, there in the middle, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Do you walk with Jesus? I tell you what, I want to walk with Jesus. But if you and I are going to walk with Jesus, we're going to have to deny self to walk with Jesus. You remember what it says in Micah? Turn over here to Micah chapter 6. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, right? Chapter 6. Jesus drew near and went with them. I'm glad that he does. I'm glad that he did. In Micah chapter 6, verse number 8, it says here, he has showed thee, O man. And I'll tell you up front, this is a question, not a statement. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. You don't know how to do justly without his word. And to love mercy. And you won't know how. You and I won't know how to be merciful without his word. And to walk humbly with thy God. You and I won't be able to walk humbly with the Lord. To walk humbly with him. We need the Lord. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we are his and he is ours. We need him. We need to walk with him. We need him. We need to walk with him every day. Turn over here to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Praise the Lord, he doesn't give up on us. Amen? He doesn't. He tells us the truth in his word. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The preacher says, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And he says, walk humbly with him. Did you walk humbly with the Lord this past week? Did you walk humbly with him, acknowledging him with you every moment of the day? The trouble that you had, the confusion that you had, the blessing and joy that you had, did you honor and acknowledge him in all your ways? I need to. We need to. You know, we'll have blessing and peace if we do so. Walk humbly with the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, take a look over here. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I need some direction for my paths, don't you? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29, given to the Lord the glory due his name. That walking humbly with him is, I believe, is the greatest way that we can walk humbly with the Lord is to admit continually to him that we need him. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Right? Given to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering. Come before him. You know, we give the offering of thanksgiving to the Lord, of our praise of our lips, right? Come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it shall not be moved. This whole world is moving and shaking. But you know what? As the children of God, we'll draw near to the Lord, seek his help, seek his blessing, walk humbly with him. He'll make our world, our eternal connection, stable in him. This whole world's going to fall apart. It's falling apart by the day, isn't it? Fear before him, all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Amen? He's our King. He's our God. The Lord draws near to these folks. And back in Luke 24, verse number 15, and it came to pass that while they were communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Verse 16, but their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. Sometimes our eyes are holden for the sake of testing, for the sake of proving, for the sake that we might grow. And so when we can't see the end of a thing, what are we going to do? As you heard me say, we're going to, when in danger or in doubt, run a circle, scream and shout. No, I don't need to do that. I need to go to the Lord with it, don't I? When I'm hurting, when there's nothing I can do, when it's impossible for me, I need to take it to the Lord. He can do it all, can he? That's how we walk humbly with him. When we're grieved, when we're glad, that we always praise his name and seek his face. Verse 17, he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? They are sad. They're sad. Their leader is dead. They have questions about it. They were there in the morning when the ladies brought the report about the body being gone, but they don't know if the body's been stolen. They don't know if the Jews are yet up to something. They had heard what maybe they said about the scriptures and remembered. Maybe they even saw Peter run off and left, evidently, as we'll see in this passage, before Peter got back. Maybe Cleophas, and I believe it's his wife, but it doesn't matter. Maybe they became afraid. Maybe they're just afraid. And so, being afraid and all this going on and what these ladies said and this threat that they feel from the Roman government and all that, maybe just bolted. So we're getting out of here, we're going home. But they're sad. And the one of them whose name was Cleophas, take a look over here in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, look here. In John 19, there at the cross of the Lord Jesus. John 9, chapter 19, it says in verse number 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, there's one, and his mother's sister, there's two, Mary the wife of Cleophas. If they are the same fella, then this is what would lead me to believe that his wife Mary was there with him, and maybe that they did come from Emmaus, and Mary Magdalene. Back in Luke 24, and one of them whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, to the Lord, who they cannot, they don't know that it's him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and has not known these things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Isn't that interesting how the Lord he plays kind of dumb? Well, what are you talking about? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Oh, he was great. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted, past tense, not do trust, but trusted. May our faith never become past tense. Amen. I did. Have we not heard that about folks? Well, they followed after the Lord. They walked in the church. They served the Lord in days gone by. But not anymore. We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, just this morning. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them were with us, went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said. So Peter had returned, hadn't he? He did get back. I had said that wrong. But him they saw not, that they didn't see the Lord. That was the report that they had. And then he says unto them in verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe what? All that the prophets have spoken, the word of God, the Old Testament word of God. All that Moses wrote, all that the prophets have written. Don't be a fool. Don't be unintelligent, unwise. Don't be sensual or carnal, only dealing with what you can see and touch and can understand in this physical life. Don't be like that. But have faith in what the Lord has said in His Word. Don't be slow of heart to believe what the Word of God says. Listen to what he says. Ought not Christ, verse 26, to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It was ordained of God that the Lord Jesus would do these things. That's the beginning and that's the end of it. It was necessary and God had purposed it and Christ had come to fulfill it. Do you want to hold back on that? No. It's easy for us to say, no, we don't want him to hold back. But can you put yourself in their shoes? It seemed impossible, did it not? It seemed like it could come to no good, did it not? A man die and then do something? We're not talking about any man, though, are they? We're not talking about any man. The Scripture's not talking about any man. He's talking about the Son of God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord. He said, you ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Remember, here lately, and it just seems so apparent to me, the Son sitting at the right hand of the Father is signifying that he's completed it all. He's obeyed the Father completely. He's accomplished the mission given unto him in our redemption and as a redemptive and atoning work. The Lord, in other parts of the Gospels, in another place in the Gospels, he speaks to the disciples about going away and going to be with the Father. And they were evidently sad at him saying that. And he said, if you knew, I'll paraphrase it, if you knew what it meant, you would rejoice. We need to walk with him, don't we? We need to trust him, even though from the standpoint and the viewpoint and the evaluation and logic of this life and this world, it doesn't make one lick of sense. May God help us. May God help me. May God help you. May God help us to see the spiritual, the eternal ramification, the eternal point. And listen to what he does. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, the word of God. Amen. And they drew nigh into the village, and whither they went to Emmaus, and he made as though he would have gone farther. I find that interesting. He was going to go farther. The Lord says to one of the churches there in Revelation, he says, I stand at the door and knock. I'm waiting to fellowship with my people. It's not talking about salvation. It's talking about fellowship with the saints. I stand at the door and knock. Door of the church. Child of God, your house, to fellowship with you. Can we fellowship with the Lord in our church and not fellowship with Him personally? We can't, can we? And he made as if he had gone farther, but they constrained him. Oh, in that sense, will you constrain the Lord to come and visit with you? They enjoyed visiting with him. They're going to tell us, the scripture is going to tell us more about how that was with them. They constrained, come on in here, abide with us. Abide with me. We sing a song with those words, don't we? Do you want the Lord to abide with you, or are you ashamed of the way you live your life? Forgive me, Lord, where I sin against you. I want the Lord to abide with me. He's promised he will. He desires to do so. Abide with us, for it is toward evening, so it's late in the day, and the day is far spent. They've made that 2 or 3 hour walk from Jerusalem. We don't know when the Lord engaged them there. Was it just outside of Jerusalem? He explained a lot of things on the way, didn't he? It might have been for the biggest part of the 2 or 3 hours, right? And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, verse 30, he took bread and blessed it and brake. And gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. I want the Lord to open my eyes to see his great work and his blessing, don't you? I want the Lord to open my eyes and my heart that I might understand and take and apply and live with his word and be a good witness in all my conversation of good things of the Lord Jesus, don't you? I want the Lord to open my eyes. I'd rather it not be that my eyes in verse 16 were holden, that I wouldn't know him. But I want to see him. I want to hear him. I want to enjoy my Lord, and I want the power. I want his power upon my life and on my family and on our church. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? That's what it says. When you hear from the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, you do read the Word of God, don't you? When you and I listen to the Word of God, that's a good way to get the Word of God too. Does it make your heart burn within you? Does it stir you? Does it bless you? Does it convict you? Does it help you? Does it make the Lord more real to you than He's ever been before? You only know him as good as you know him in this book. You can't know him some other way. Maybe you don't read well. Well, I tell you what, I'll set you up so you can listen to the Word of God in about a week. Somehow get that Word. Get the Word of God in you. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? By the way, do you walk and talk with the Lord? Do you listen to him out of his word? Do you talk to him about your care and the help you need, the blessing that he's done for you? Do you visit with the Lord? Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Do you desire and want the Lord to open up the scriptures? Has the Lord opened the scriptures to you? I remember how it was before I was saved. read the scriptures and read the Word of God, and there's a couple things that I could get a hold of, but, you know, it just didn't go together. It didn't click. I'll tell you what, after the Lord saved me, man, it just began to build and to connect and to have meaning because it was real. It was about what my Lord did for me. Yeah, He did it for my brothers and sisters in Christ, but it was what He did for me, what He's promised me. They rose up, verse 33, the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So there's the 11 apostles, the 12 less Judas, and the others that are there. Those women are mentioned, and that's part of the reason that I think, even in regards to the Lord's Supper, the Lord sat there with the 11, but I believe the church was gathered together because they're gathered together before and then during, and I believe here were manifested after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon." This is what the folks there in Jerusalem, they Cleopas and this other that's with him, maybe his wife Mary, when they returned back, wait a minute, it was evening, wasn't it? Do you reckon they ran back? What day is this? The way you and I mark it today, it's still Sunday, the first day. Have we seen anything that made it another day? Same day. Did not our heart burn? They rose up the same hour, verse number 33, and returned to Jerusalem that night in the evening. They said, "Lord, abide with us, eat." And He did. He broke the bread. He blessed it. He broke the bread, opened their eyes that they might see Him. And they said, "Oh, it was the Lord Jesus." And didn't our heart burn? And while He opened us the scriptures and what He did for us, they get that, they load up that same hour. They go back, return to Jerusalem. They find the apostles there. They find the others there. And those that are there, verse 34, saying, they are saying to Cleopas and the one with him, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon," or that is Peter. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known to them in breaking bread. Well, said, "We saw Him too. We saw Him too." And I tell you what, it was a blessing to see Him. It was a wonderful thing. And no doubt it's been a wonderful thing for you all. Verse number 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." What's it say, verse 37? But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit, or what you and I would say today, a ghost. When heaven comes down, men are afraid. They're afraid there, aren't they? That's the reason the Lord says, "Peace be unto you." Our God is great. Our Lord and Savior is mighty and terrible in His ability and His power. He said Himself, "Don't fear the one that after he's killed the body can't do anything else." But He said, "I tell you who you should fear. Fear the one after he's killed the body can take the soul and the body and put him in hell." He is terrible, and he is great, and He is powerful. Oh, but He's a blessing to behold, isn't He? You and I have never seen Him with our eyes. But we've seen Him with the eye of faith, haven't we? Yeah, right. Amen, we do. Mm-hmm. Amen, we have, and we do. And it will be peace to us when we do see Him, when we walk with Him, when we talk with Him, when we are close with Him. And He said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" Do you have thoughts of doubt that arise in your heart? I tell you, look to Jesus. And look to the Lord Jesus. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 28. We know this and understand and use this passage much to understand the commission the Lord's given us here. But on this account, here, in verse number 17, or verse number 16 of Matthew 28, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." This is in Galilee up north. Understand that. "And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted." I don't want to be a doubter. Sometimes I can't help it but doubt. But I don't want to be a doubter, do you? Do you want to doubt the Lord? You want to doubt what we see him do? Do we want to doubt what he says? Yeah, some worshiped him. They worshiped him, but some doubted. Back in Luke 24, verse 38, and he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Thoughts. In verse 41, listen to what it says. And while they yet believed not for joy, they're happy. Have you not said that? I can't believe what I'm seeing. Have you said that? We've all experienced things like that. Verse 38, he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Thoughts of doubt. Oh, may we look to the Lord. May we trust in him. May we rest in him. May we have peace in him, child of God. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit, a ghost, if you will, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Said, grab a hold of me. Grab a hold of you. See the print. See my side. Look at my feet. And look, I'm real. And when he had thus spoken, verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, they had thoughts in their, how can this be? Well, when it doesn't make sense, just trust the Lord. Believe him in his word. Rest in him. Take your care to him. Walk with him. Talk with him. Enjoy the blessing that he's given us. The Lord, the greatest thing of salvation is that the Lord has given us himself. He's given us him. Not a form of religion. We have doctrine taught by the Lord, and we have operation in the church, and that's all to his praise and honor and his glory. But the greatest thing is that the Lord's given himself to us. And the fellowship that we can have with him. They believed not for joy, verse 41, and wondered. And he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. As we observed the Lord's Supper last Sunday afternoon, we know there's one thing he's not going to partake of until he drinks it and observes it, I believe, new in his kingdom. Amen? Fish and honeycomb weren't on that list. But there are some things he's refraining from to we're there together with him. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord would do that for us? Our being with him is so important to him that he would do that for us. Verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. We saw some of those in Matthew. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. This is it. You're seeing it. I'm not going to raise from the dead to some zombie, ate up afterlife, weirdo kind of thing, but the Lord is whole and glorified in me. He's able to be there with him, and they enjoy his presence. Listen to this, verse 45. And then opened he their understanding, even the apostles, that they might understand the scriptures. I need that, don't you? To Cleophas and Cleophas and the one with him, we need that expounding. We need that opening up of the Word of God and the opening up of the scriptures concerning himself that it talks about there in verse 27. But you know what? We need our understanding opened up too, don't we? You know what? Listen, brothers and sisters, I want to do and I want to have more than just understanding them. As James says, don't be a hearer of the word and not a doer. I want to be a doer too. Don't you? I want to be a doer of the word. Lord, please, please do this for us. Please do this for me that we might understand and that we might do. He opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, verse 45, verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, just like he had said, and that repentance, you that are here and not saved, the operation, the work of God, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is for the purpose of saving his people. And there's a mission that he's given to his church and to his people that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations. And that's down here to you today. Don't be a fool. Don't be slow of heart to believe the Word of God. Child of God, don't be a fool and don't be slow of heart to believe the Word of God. Verse 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. They were witnesses of it, and you and I that He saved, we're witnesses of it too, aren't we? We're witnesses. I'm a witness of these very things by virtue of the Lord saving me. You, who He has saved, are a witness of these things. We need to tell them, don't we? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that's what instruction He gave to that church there, that filling of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in them. He said, it's coming. You stay right there. Verse 50. Now, where are they at? Jerusalem. Right? What do we read in Matthew? When the Lord ascended, they were in Galilee. Right? Where are they at right here? Judea. Right? And He led them out as far as to Bethany. You know where Bethany's at? Bethany's outside of town, Jerusalem. About a mile, mile and a half, 2 miles. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. See, the Lord made good on His promise that He would raise from the dead. He appeared to His church there on this first day of the week. It's still that same Sunday. It's late. It may be even dark. When did this happen? The Lord ascending there from Bethany. It happened there on that first Sunday the Lord met with His church. Who wasn't there? Thomas. How many days did the Lord Jesus appear and work with His church? Huh? Acts chapter 1. Verse number 1, the former treatise have I obeyed, O Theophilus, Luke writing here also, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles by whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. 40 days. 43 days from the time of His crucifixion, leaving about another 10 days to a week before Pentecost came about, huh? Back in Luke chapter 24, He led them out as far as Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem, lifted up His hands, blessed them, and He was parted from them, carried up into heaven, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, you know, fellowshipping with the Lord, walking with Him, walking humbly with Him, talking to Him, bringing our care to Him, telling Him how we feel, telling Him how we need help, praising His name and thanking Him for what He does for us and His blessings. Faced with the trial at hand, the uncertainty, the unknown, taking that to the Lord and crying unto Him, seeking His face in all things. We got a decision to make. What would the Lord have us to do? We need a provision that we don't have. Would the Lord help us and show us and give unto us what we need? You know, because walking with the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord and being at peace with the Lord and walking humbly with our God, there'll be a blessing, and there indeed will be great joy. They saw the Lord ascend, I believe, many times during that 40 days. This is telling us, we pointed out, two of them that are here in the Scriptures, one there in Bethany, one that we're told about up in Galilee. See, when we see the Lord in His glory, we're going to be motivated to serve Him, be a witness of Him, and obey Him. We're going to have peace and contentment no matter what the physical circumstance of life is, because we know He's in control. And we're resting in Him. Don't be a fool. And don't be slow of heart to believe what the Word of God says, child of God. And you that are here not saved, We extend the same thing to you. Don't be a fool, and don't be slow of heart to believe what the Word of God says. You're a sinner. And the Lord Jesus here says that through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven today. You can have remission of your sins. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.